Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Parsha class learning at Ohel, our final class before Pasach, Chag HaMatzos, Man Chiruseinu, Chag HaAviv. This month of Nisan is ripe for Nisim, and it should be a schus with Nisim and Yeshuas and Besoros Tovos for our Refuah Shalema, Menuchas HaNefesh, a lot of Koach and Simchas HaChayim, for the Chol Adav Nechemia HaKoim V'Rachal Chaya Sarah Shav Arafu Shalema B'Soch Sha'ar Chol Yisrael Rachamei Shemaim Nisim V'Neflaos Amen V'Amen. So, what I think is appropriate to do, and last week we spoke about Parsha insights, Haggadah insights, what is appropriate to do is to really, we're going to be discussing Pesach, and we're going to relate it to the Parsha, so a little bit of both. So beginning with Pesach, we're in the final countdown, of course, to the Seder nights. One of the focal points of the Seder, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos. Why is this night different from all the other nights of the year? On all other nights, we chamita matzah. Tonight, we only matzah. Is my volume okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
On all of the nights, we eat whatever kind of vegetables you want. Tonight, you eat only maror. Now, of course, it's not true that we eat only maror. We do eat many kinds of vegetables. But the focus has to be on the bitterness of the avdus. On all of the nights, we don't dip. Tonight, we dip 2 times. On all other nights, we eat sitting up or leaning. Tonight, we lean, we show we are like kings. So even within the Manishtana, we have the representation that everything we do at Seder represents the paradox of life as a Jew. Everything is... there is the pain, and that is the maror. We dip into the salty water to show the tears. On the other hand, we lean to show that we're like kings. So everything that we do on Seder night represents these two differing emotions or experiences of being a Jew. So I want to quote from this beautiful Haggadah, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, around the Seder table, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, who has a wealth of lifetime experiences and Torah knowledge and Zchus Avos to bring us so much Torah. So he tells over the story related to Kulo Matzah, and then we're going to talk about what Matzah represents, what Chametz represents, and why we eradicate it, why the search for Chametz, and what does that have to do with this Parsha. So Rav Lau tells over this following story in regard to Halayla Hazeh Kulo Matzah. On this night, only Matzah. When the first wave of Soviet immigrants arrived in Israel, writes Rabbi Lau, I was serving as the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv Yafo. One day I sat in Bet Din, Jewish court of law, with 2 other judges, Rav Shlomo Dachowski and Rabbi Avram Sherman. And who came to Beis Din? A young doctor of 42 years old. He arrived in Israel the previous day from the Soviet Union. He came with his wife and his 2 daughters. Excuse me. Rabbi Lau says, this is not the place to describe how they arrived without any papers. Okay, I need to make a bracha. 1 minute, please. I'm sorry. Bracha tatanai lohinu ma'acholam shakol nehi abedvaro.
Amen.
I'm sorry, excuse me. So this 42-year-old doctor, who had arrived the day before from the Soviet Union, came before the Bet Din of Tel Aviv Yafo, where Rabbi Lau was on the Bet Din. He wanted to receive a certificate of authorization to present to the immigration authorities that he is Jewish. So he brought with him witnesses that he was Jewish, the son of a male and female Jew. He wants to say he's 100% Jewish. He was a doctor. His mother was a pediatrician. She was the head of the pediatric department in Moscow in those days. His father was a surgeon, so the parents were also doctors. The father was deceased, so he brought witnesses. One of the witnesses testified he was at the Brit Milah ceremony of this doctor 42 years earlier. The doctor's name is George, and the man said, I was at his Brit Milah ceremony. The other witness told a fascinating and most interesting story. He was an elderly member of the Chabad group. He had come to Bet Din with a cap on his head. He had a long white beard, and the witness told the following story. George's mother, the head of the department in the hospital, was a chronic smoker. She smoked 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Yes, yeah, she's a pediatrician, and she's smoking 2 or 3 packs a day. Okay, we're not going to discuss that now. However, each night before going to sleep for the whole year, she would take 1 cigarette and place it inside a special carton in the back of her closet. Once a year, after the Purim festival, said this Chabad member, I would come to her house, George's mother. There was an agreement between us. She would bring me 350 cigarettes that she had saved over the year. I would give her a kilogram of flour so she could bake matzot in her home for Pesach. She was not a Sabbath observer. She did not keep kosher. The conditions in the Soviet Union made it impossible, but she was very careful. She wanted to have matzot in her home on Leil HaSeder, and in her home, every year, they recalled the exodus from Egypt with whatever symbolism involved that they could find. Rabbi Lau writes that he was very moved by the story. You know, today, it's so easy for us to procure matzah. It is hard for our society today and the youth today and myself and my generation to fathom such mesirat nefesh, such giving over of your life while you live to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. I can't relate to this in a concrete fashion. I can tell the story of it. I can be in awe of it. I can be moved by Mesiras Nefesh for matzah. But I cannot relate in such a concrete fashion to the willingness to self-sacrifice for mitzvos. I was very moved by the story. The doctor gave me his mother's phone number in Moscow. I called her, Rabbi Lau, while these people are all in Beis Din, called the mother in Moscow on the phone. And she knew a little bit of Yiddish, because she speaks Russian, he speaks Hebrew. And I said to her, Rabbi Lau said, we observe the mitzvah of matzah once a year. Alayla hazeh kulo matzah. You observe the mitzvah of matzah, shmartim es matzos, 365 nights a year. I don't know if in terms of halacha, in terms of Jewish law, the matzah you bake, I'm not sure in terms of halacha, said Rabbi Lau, they are kosher, but they are sacred and holy, and they will be gladly accepted by the Creator. I have no doubt about that, says Rabbi Lau. I left her on the phone. I turned to her son, this George. He spoke English to me. He knew no Hebrew. I knew no Russian. George, today, from today, you are our brother. In my eyes, said Rabbi Lau, you are no longer George, you are Gershon. His mother shed a tear, and she said to me on the phone, that's exactly the name his deceased father gave him at his circumcision, his Brit Milah ceremony, 42 years ago. So Rabbi Lau says, Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. This is the night of all matzah. So when we sit down to Seder night, in the timer you could get matzah everywhere, from Costco to ShopRite to Gourmet Gal, wherever you go, there is matzah. Hani Macha says you should carry around, Allah Hashem, you should carry around matzah in your pocket, in your pocketbook. And if you see a Jew, you should say to them, oh, are you Jewish? Would you like to have some matzah on Pesach? No, really. She taught that in her seminary. So to bring the mitzvah to other people. So when it is so easy for us to fulfill the mitzvah, it is important to keep in mind, and again, I speak to myself and my generation and my children's generation, the exemplary Mesiras Nefesh of the Jew, the willingness to be Moser Nefesh, to give over your life. Rabbi Salvechik says that there are two ways to be Moser Nefesh. With all your heart, says Rashi, afilu no tel es nafshecha, even if he takes your life, v'chol me'odecha. All your money relates to buying the matzah for us in our generation. But v'chol nafshecha, says Rabbi Salvechik, the Akedah, the willingness of man to give over of himself to God, was established as an iron law in Jewish history. However, sometimes we're required to give up our life, Rachman Atzlan Oleinu, physically to give up your life. But Rabbi Salvechik says there's another way that a person is Moser Nefesh. It's not always to give up your physical life to God. Kol ben hayulad hayar tashlichuhu, every male into the river. There is also the Mesiras Nefesh of giving up your life while you live. And that is a different kind of Mesiras Nefesh. And I'm going to say, and please bear with me, I'm quoting Rabbi Lau, his commentary on Pirkei Avos, actually Yachal Yisrael. Rabbi Lau says, sometimes it is harder to give up your life in life, to always live with God. And the proof of that, says Rabbi Lau in his beautiful Yachal Yisrael, which is not out of print, Art School has it in English, it's very beautiful. He says, Avraham Avinu's first Nisayon was the Kivshan Ha'ish. Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace, and the Parshas Noach. It's not even listed in the Torah. The Chazal tell us, Rashi, at the end of Parshas Noach quotes this, and that's according to the Bartanur, his first Nisan. His second Nisan is, Lach Lecha, Me'artzcha, Me'vedcha, Me'vesavicha, Eretz Asher Ha'eka. The second nisayon is lach lecha, to go for yourself. The gematria of lach lecha is 100. He left when he was 75. He lived for 175 years. Rabbi Lau says it was much harder for Avram Avinu to live with God for 100 years from the time of lach lecha to the time of kachnas bincha zichircha shahavta than it was for a one-time event. He was prepared to give up his life for the God that he recognized. The Rambam says he looked at the heavenly bodies and Avram Avinu said, how could it be that there's no one in charge? It doesn't make any sense. Somebody's controlling this. He was ready to give up his life to Nimrod in the fiery furnace. But to live with God, to start with lach lecha and go through trial after trial, when the whole world says you're a crazy person, ultimately it comes to the test of the akedah, to be moser nefesh, what you want for what God wants, Rabbi Lau says, that's much harder. And therefore, relating down to Rav Salvechik says, the test is to be moser nefesh, like this woman, George is Gershon's mother, not only in death, but even more so to dedicate my entire life to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that was the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews in Egypt. The women did not give up in the darkest times, all the way from the women of Egypt down to this brave Jewish woman who hid a cigarette in her back cupboard. Were her matzahs kosher or not kosher? That's up for discussion. But were they precious before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Were they sacred and holy? Did they represent the desire of the Jew to live with God? Absolutely. And this one was proof for Rabbi Lau, these two witnesses. The one who says, I was at his Brit Milah ceremony. And the one who said, I barter flour for cigarettes with his mother. Rabbi Lau said, you're our brother, you are Gershon. So when it comes to Pesach, what we want to do is root what we must do, not what we want to do. I was cleaning out the pantry yesterday, so I took everything out, I wiped all the shelves, even though we're not home, you could technically say you could sell yours, I don't know, I'm not a Rav. I was cleaning out the kitchen cabinets, so I was so excited when I was cleaning out the pantry, and I took out all the I took out everything, Clorox wipe, everything, and I found a barley on one of the shelves, a piece of barley. I said, oh, this is why I'm cleaning out the cupboard, because I found the barley, there it is, there's the chavetz. So Rav Elio Kitov says something very important in his Sefer HaTodah, in his Book of Our Heritage. And he says, what do we learn from Bedikas Chametz? The night before Pesach, this year first Seder is Monday night, so Sunday night, Bedikas Chametz. What do we learn from Bedikas Chametz? Because by then, nobody has any Chametz left around. So you're searching for Chametz, but there is no Chametz. You have to make sure you're not going to say, how did the minig start with the 10 pieces of bread? Because you want to make sure that you don't make a bracha levatala. You're searching, you might not find anything, so you wrap up 10 pieces of bread. Each one should be less than a kazayas. You should make sure you know where you put them. Somebody should write down where you put them. And then you have to search the chametz. So Kitov says, so what are we doing, Sefer Todah? Who has chametz around? So matzah and chametz represent the battle between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov. And the sources tell us that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. It's the struggle within each one of us to be someone who we're not. If you leave your bowl of challah dough and you go out for too long and you come back, this happened to me last time, and it's mamish overflowing over the sides. It goes past, I even took a picture of it. It goes past itself. It goes beyond its boundaries. A Jew is not supposed to go beyond their boundaries for not good things. I'm not talking about overextending ourselves in terms of chesed or in terms of tzedakah, but there's something called kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, perek yotes of Vayikra. We're in Sefer Vayikra. We're going to get to the parasha shortly. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, and the Ramban says famously, Nachmanides says, what is the command of kedoshim? You shall be holy. You should not be, he famously coins the term, naval b'shus ha-Torah. You shouldn't be a boor, disgusting, gluttonous, within what's permitted by Torah. That's chametz, overflow. So the Ramban gives examples there. He says you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. How much meat? How much wine? Is it the point of gluttony? Says a Talmud Chacham should not be intimate with his wife like chickens in the coop house. These are the examples that, yes, these are the examples that he gives. But the point is that halacha dictates every facet and aspect of a Jewish person's life. Chametz is the antithesis. Chametz is the Yetzer Hara. And I'm not talking about going beyond our bounds to do more chesed. Please, we have to be seichodik and know what we're talking about. But everybody understands the times when the Yetzer Hara says, go beyond the bounds. How much meat do you need to eat? How much wine, says the Ramban, do you need to drink? Too much always causes problems. It does. It causes physical problems. It causes psychological problems. It causes emotional problems. The Torah wants us to be a healthy people within bounds. So you can have matzah 18 minutes. Fascinating that, of course, 18 is chai. And it's the recipe for life. Ein mayim ela Torah. What's the recipe of matzah? Flour and water. What's water? Torah. Well, the Zohar 5b. Ein mayim ela Torah. Yes.
And if ein kemach.
Right, so we're going to get there. Very nice. Both ingredients. That's right. So, ein mayim ela Torah. Water is Torah. Water sustains us physically. Torah sustains us spiritually. And the other ingredient is kemach. Ein kemach, ein Torah. A person needs some level of base gashmis to sustain themselves. You can have a mind when you're eating, which I try and do sometimes if I'm not too rushed. When I eat, I try and have a mind that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of nishmarta moda nafsho seichem. You want to eat to be a healthy person. So matzah represents health. You take your kemach, as Chazal tells Pirkei Avos, im ein kemach ein Torah, and you take your water, which sustains you physically. Without water, you can't live. You know, it was so rainy the past week. I have a friend who's always a liros tov. She really is. I remember last spring it rained so much, so much. So she said to me one day, you know, Michal, at least we have rain jackets. I really keep that in mind. So last week, she's an unbelievable person, B'shem Amar Yocheved Goldberg. She really is a lir os tov in everything. So I saw her last night, I said, you know, last week was raining. So I said to somebody, at least we have rain jackets, at least we're not in a drought. So she says, you told that to me. I said, Yocheved, you told it to me. I didn't tell it to you. So matzah represents... I don't know why I brought that. Why did I bring that up? Why did I bring that up? I think because of water. Without water, there's no life. Without water, there's no physical life. Without the water of Torah, there's really no spiritual life. Look at this woman's mesiras nefesh to bake matzah in her home. And without kemach, there's also life. So take the water of life, which is physical sustenance, and spiritual sustenance. Take the kemach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mela made us human beings, and without kemach, we can't live. Combine them together in 18 minutes. It's beautiful. It's chai. You want to know what you should do in life? Don't go so beyond your bounds. You could have a steak. It's very nice. Basar v'dagim on Shabbos. Don't be a novel b'shul sator. And that's chametz. So back to our question. Ki Tov says, what are we searching for chametz on the night before Pesach? Because nobody has it anymore. So much so that you don't want to make a bracha levatala. So you put out 10 pieces of bread. So you know what he writes in Ki Tov? It's a metaphor for yourself. Because we're searching ourselves for chametz. So he says so beautifully, if you think you're all cleaned out, and now we're talking about ourselves, what should you do? Go back and look again. Yeah. There's something that's remaining within you. Avodas Hashem is never finished. I said to Ribono Shel Olam this morning, I promise. I said, Hashem, it's hard to be a person. It's hard to be a person. Simcha Raz writes, he wrote the beautiful biography on Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook. If you didn't read it, also An Angel Among Men, unbelievable biography. So Simcha Raz quotes different, in a different book, quotes different, like Hasidic stories and sayings, and he brings down there, it's not difficult to be on the level of angels. It's difficult to be on the level of human beings. It's hard. It's hard to clean out the chametz from our homes, to find that little piece of barley in my pantry. I was so happy when I found the barley. Okay, some spices had spilled on the shelves, so I cleaned out the spices. Some red food coloring apparently spilled, because the shelf where we keep the extracts and food coloring, when I kept wiping it, the Clorox wipe kept coming out red. When I found the barley, that's what you're really looking for, that one piece of barley that remains within yourself. So Ki Tov says, what's the search for chametz? Search, yes, your home. That's halacha, of course, but it represents hashkafically searching yourself. And we have to make sure that we always live within that struggle. Everyone struggles. I said to God, Hashem, it's hard to be a person. It's really hard to be a person. I do things I'm not proud of. I do things I'm wrong. I daven. I said, Hashem, please help me. Please help me. Help me find the chametz within Michal Horowitz. And that's the search. And once you find it, what do you have to do the next morning? Beer chametz. Oh, it's nice to find it. You have to be self-aware. You have to find the barley. But if you say, oh, I found it, now I'm going to leave it there. So you didn't accomplish. You have to go out and then you have to burn it. And with that, Mahalach, you can enter the Yom Tov of Pesach and sit down on the night of Chibur. So that is the search for chametz, matzah, and again, the search of Avodas Hashem, all of us within ourselves. Are there any questions or comments? No? Okay. You want to be shy? You're usually not shy.
Okay. Because I can't leave you without...
Someone has to have something to say after that.
Okay. So, when you were talking about it's not to be like angels, it's harder to be a human
being
than to be...
A person, it's hard. Relate it back, 1 second, I'm sorry, I want to hear your comment. Relate it back to the struggles of Avraham Avinu. It's exactly what Rabbi Lau says. The struggle of Kivshon Ha'esh for Avraham Avinu, says Rabbi Lau. I keep reiterating this, Rabbi, I would never be as audacious to say this. That was not, you could look up in Yachal Yisrael, in the beginning of Perek Hay, of Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah talks about the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. So he says that was a one-time test. Avraham Avinu would have given up his life, he would have gone to the Beis Din Shamal, to his portion of Omava. But to live with God, says Rabbi, that was much harder because it's hard to be a person. Harder for a person to be a person than to be an angel. But then to begin this year, yeah.
So that's analogous to why we call Yom Kippur Yom Kippurim. Because on Yom Kippur, when you're fasting and you're davening and you're wearing the white kittel and all of the...
Why do you wear the white kittel, by the way?
To be like a malach.
To be like a malach,
so,
very nice.
So you're spiritually so focused on the day that you're like a malach. But why we say Yom Kippurim? Because it's easy to be a malach when you're fasting and you're davening and you're in shul all day.
And by the way, wait. Abstaining from food and drink. What does the Ramban say? How much food and how much drink? Abstaining from intimate relations. What's the other example of the Ramban? Don't be like chickens in the coop. So it's exactly those examples of the Ramban we draw away from that makes us like a malach. Go ahead.
Right. So while it's easy to do that, the trick is to do it like Purim, when you're sitting and you're eating at a suda and you're drinking wine and you're being frivolous and you're dressing up stupidly and acting... Then to still be a yid, to be proper within those guidelines, that is what you ultimately aspire to be.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice.
That's not my words. I mean, I learned that.
You did, but it applied, yes. And I think probably that...
Yeah. I'm glad I remember anything these days.
And it's something that we've all heard, but thank you for bringing it up, because it applies beautifully to our learning. Yom Kippurim, the challenge of everyday life represented in Purim, is can you be involved in this world with the kemach, mayim, and yet know when to restrain yourself. So Pesach represents the ultimate restraint and the beauty of take the water, take the flour, make it for 5 minutes, and that's really the recipe for life. Don't go beyond your boundaries. Don't be another b'shus haTorah. And yes, for chesed and tzedakah, there are, you know, even for chesed and tzedakah, there could be boundaries. You know that? There's boundaries for everything. You don't have to give away all your money. And when it comes to chesed, you have to know the balance between your own health and doing for others, between your family needs and doing for others. So I'm correcting myself a little bit. Because even within the realm of Asiyas HaMitzvos and everything in life of the Jews, Asiyas HaMitzvos, there are boundaries. There are still boundaries, and that's all represented in the matzah. So beautiful. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah, the Mesiras Nefesh of this woman, really should be an inspiration to us all, not only her, of course, but generations and generations of Jews who did not have the ease that we have to procure matzah, which represents the struggle of life, and then the triumph, the burning out, the bi'ur chametz. Okay, so Parshas Tzav, we're going to relate this to our Parsha. Everything that we've spoken about in the beginning of the Shir is related to Pesach, Lechol Seder. We're going to relate to the Parsha. Last week was Vayikra. It was the introduction to the Parsha, the Karbanos. My favorite introduction to Vayikra is given by Rabbi Shmuel Golden. I quote it every single year, because it's my favorite introduction of Shmuel Golden of New Jersey. He used to, I don't know if he still is or was, on the RCA. There's a a series on the Torah called Unlocking the Torah Text. Also beautiful Sfarim. So his introduction to Vayikra, which I quote every single year, he writes, he begins with, just, not Parshas Vayikra, the book of Vayikra, just wait till you get to Vayikra, dot, dot, dot. I have lost count of the number of times this line has been gleefully offered to me by observers on their finding out, I forget his exact words, that I am writing a series on the Torah. Bereshit and Shemot are easy. Wait till you get to Vayikra. The point is well taken, says Rabbi Golden, considering the gripping drama and excitement of the first two books of the Torah. I mean, Bereishis, it's like the drama is unbelievable, all the way from Briyas HaOlam to Yosef's death in Perek Nun. I mean, there's one unbelievable thing happening after that. Shemos, which we journey together, is through of stories and ups and downs and high and lows. Way to get to Vayikra, he says, it's true, we have Parshas Kedoshim, which contains V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, don't speak lashon hara mipnei seva takum. He says, but by the time you get to these mitzvos, the reader has waded through page after page of difficult text with little relevance to our lives in the modern world. Says Rabbi Golden, wait till you get to Vayikra. So it is my favorite introduction to Vayikra, because when you open up Vayikra, you know, I was learning the parsha with Rashi over Shabbos, it's very hard. It's very hard. Never mind that we don't have a base in Mikdash for almost 2,000 years. Our Salvechuk says we have survived 2,000 years without the Beit HaMikdash. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. What's wrong?
I have a phone.
What's wrong?
A phone.
Rabbi Salvechuk says we have the sanctuary in space and the sanctuary in time. Sanctuary in time, Kedushas HaZman, coming up to Pesach HaShabbos, and the Yomim Tovim, I will add on to that. Kedushas HaMakom is the Mishkan. Rabbi Salvechuk says we have survived 2,000 years without Kedushas HaMakom. Oh, now I hear us. Without Kedushas HaMakom of the Mishkan. Yes, we have Mikdash Ma'ah, but Rachman and Slan HaMerhar HaMaria lays an absolute shame and ruin and bizayon and cherpa. But we would not have survived, says Rav Salvechuk, 1 week without Shabbos. So when it comes to the Mishkan, how can we relate to what's going on in these parshios being so far removed from Churban, especially if we're not Kohanim? It seems to have no relevance to our lives. So Rabbi Golden says, can we extrapolate meaningful lessons from Vayikra for us today? So let me give you, so the answer is of course yes, not as easy for lay people as Bereishis and Shemos, but there is much to learn from Parshas Tzav. Let me give you a summary. Okay, so last week we had the introduction to all different Karbanos. I say every year in the beginning of Vayikra also, I say this every year, please don't ask me, I'm not making a joke, the halachos of Karbanos. I cannot answer your questions on Hilchos Karbanos. Hashem instructs Moshe to command, this is the beginning, this summary, to command Aaron and his sons concerning their role. Aaron is the Kohen, of course, and Kohen Gadol, his sons are the Kohanim. The Torah reviews some Karbanos first introduced in Parshas Vayikra. Further details are added. There are laws upon the entire klal. Karbanos disqualified due to erroneous intent. Pigel. So it's very interesting, by the way. We learned something important from here. Pigel is a carbon that is disqualified because of erroneous intent. Teaches us about having kavana, vodas Hashem. You could bring the carbon, but if you didn't have the right kavana, and Rashi comments on this a number of times in last week's parsha, the carbon has to be brought with the intention of bringing that carbon. So could you imagine? Could go through all the motions and could be disqualified because of erroneous intent. So what does that teach us about our vodas Hashem? Specifically a lesson in Tefillah, which takes the place of Karbanos. Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, Torah, Avodat, Midas Chasadim, Pirkei Avos, Chapter 1, Mishnah 2. The world stands on three things. Torah, Avoda, we spoke about Torah, Mayim, spoke about Gamilas Chasadim, and Avoda is Karbanos / Tefillah. So if a Karban can be disqualified, not accepted, due to erroneous intent, it is a powerful Hashkafic lesson to us vis-a-vis our relationship to God when it comes to Tefillah. With the carbon, you go through all the motions and then you didn't have the proper Kavana, it's a problem. So it is a sobering thought that we should strive to keep in mind. And it's a tremendous challenge to have kavana. A tremendous challenge, yes.
I was always wondering, you know, every time we're challenged to have kavana in davening, and then right by the time we finish, we say, oh my God, what do we do, whatever. Is it better to, I guess, simple question probably, is it better to struggle or say, well, I'm not having kavana, I mean, why am I davening? Because half the time my davening isn't good. Right. Well, that's what I would think. That you struggle, even if you miss part of it because your head was somewhere else, but you keep bringing yourself
It's back. A very relevant, strong, excellent question because it relates to all of us. Hashem desires the struggle.
I see what you're saying.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the struggle. It goes back to Chametz Matzah. Hashem wants the struggle. We should never say, well, I can't concentrate anyway. I'm setting myself up for failure, so what's the point of even doing this? The Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal in regard to tefillah. Okay, we're talking about carbon brought with erroneous intent, is disqualified. Today we don't have karbanos. Avoda Sheb Ezehi, Avoda Sheb Alev, Zohi tefillah. The Chavetz Chaim gives an example, and he says, let's say there's a seller in the marketplace, and she's selling apples, a young girl selling apples in the marketplace, and thieves come along, and they start to take her apples. So she started off with 50 apples in the basket, and this one steals one, and this one steals one, and she finds that the apples are dwindling, and she's just standing there. And then there's a lull in the thievery, and she just stands there. So should she just stand there, or should she save the last 10 apples? Okay, you lost 40, but you have 10. So the Chavetz Chaim says, of course, you should save the last apples that she has. Okay, she lost so many, but she still has something left that she could sell. So when we don't have kavana in tefillah, and we lose all those apples, when we have that lull, and you have that moment to think, wait, I still have some time here, you know, I still have 10 more brachas to recite, or 10 more words of the Shemona Esrei, so I have to focus on those. And we should never say, Hashem does not desire the tefillah because I'm struggling, because it's the exact opposite. I was actually going to quote this at the end, but I'm going to quote from it now, because it's relevant to what you brought up. Okay? It relates to Chametz Matzah. It relates to our internal struggle. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, Rosh Yeshiva Veshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, wrote a very famous letter in his Pachad Yitzchak. Very famous letter to a Talmud who is struggling in his Avodas Hashem. We spoke about the battle between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov, which represents the battle between Chametz and Matzah. We spoke about erroneous Kavana and how do we deal with it. So should we just give up? Or either in tefillah or in any area of avodas Hashem. You know, I said to Hashem this morning, I really said this to Hashem. I said, Hashem, it's very hard to be a person. It's hard, so should I just give up? Or do I want to be like Avraham Avinu, lechcha? I have to keep plodding one foot after another, finding that single grain of barley that's sitting on my pantry shelf. You got to keep looking, keep moving on. So a Talmud wrote to him, and that he felt very dejected. A certain student of Rav Hunner felt very dejected in light of his inner struggles and his faulting spirit. He felt very pessimistic. So Rav Hunner says profound words. These were written on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 1963. Your letter reached my hand, he writes to his Talmud. Your words have reached my heart. What does he say? A failing many of us experience is when we focus on the lofty level of accomplishments of great people. We focus on how complete they are in this or that area. We omit to mention the inner struggles that raged within them. A listener would get the idea that these great individuals came out of the hand of their creator in their ideal form. These people never had to search for chametz because they didn't have any chametz. When you look at the gedolim, that's what we think. And now, again, I would never say this. I'm quoting Rav Hunner. Everyone is awed at the purity of speech of the Chavetz Chaim. We just quoted a mashal by him. We consider his purity of shmis, his shmiras halashon, a miraculous phenomenon. But who knows of the battles, I'm quote, now it was written in Lashon HaKodesh, but for our purposes, who knows of the battles, struggles, and obstacles, the slumps and regressions the Chavetz Chaim encountered in his war with the Yetzer Hara? Who thinks of the Chavetz Chaim like that? Think of the Chavetz Chaim as a saint among men, as an angel among men. I'm going to repeat that sentence. Who knows of the battles, struggles, and obstacles, the slumps and regressions the Chavetz Chaim encountered in his war with the Yetzer Hara? There are many such examples to which we can apply this rule. So the first thing we have to know is that when we look at someone who's on such a high level of Avodas Hashem, we should be in awe, we should be inspired, we should be mechazek, but nobody comes out of the hand of the Creator perfect. The result of this misconception and thinking that the Gedolim are perfect is when an ambition... Again, I would never say such things, please. I would never say such things, but we're learning a tremendous lesson, really, in being a person. If it's hard to be a person, it means you have a battle. But chas v'shalom, you should give up. So the downside is, if you focus, when you have this misconception, says Rav Hertner, when a young man of spirit, when a person of enthusiasm meets obstacles, when he falls and he slumps, he imagines himself unworthy of being planted in the house of Hashem. No, quote, my dear friend, your soul is rooted not in the tranquility of the Yetzer Tov, but in the battle of the Yetzer Hara. No. Wow. Yeah. No, my friend, that your soul is not rooted in the tranquility of the Yetzer Tov, but in the battle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. You are a worthy warrior in the battalion of the Yetzer Tov. So, and then, and this line I absolutely love, he says, there's an English expression, says Rav Hertner, lose a battle and win the war.
Right.
He says it applies to this phenomenon. What does it mean? Anyone who wakes up in the morning and says, okay, if we wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, or by mincha time, short of davening, it's still going to be impossible for me. Okay, the carbon was disqualified with erroneous intent, so I want my tefillah to be accepted, so I'm going to concentrate from the first word of Ashrei to the last word of Aleinu from mincha time.
Really,
so what's going to happen?
Not going to happen.
I'm going to fail. I could tell you. So what does Rav Hertner say? You have stumbled and will stumble again. And this is my favorite part. In parentheses, a self-fulfilling prophecy is not intended. That's he telling Stalin. You've stumbled again, you will. Self-fulfilling prophecy is not intended. And in many battles, you will fall lame. Why do we say it's hard to be a person? Because we want the chametz. Listen, the cake, the mizonos, the challah, it tastes so good in my mouth. I can't describe it. My brother says, Ta'amu ki tov Hashem, taste and see Hashem is good. My brother says, could you tell someone who never ate chocolate what chocolate tastes like? Will they know what chocolate tastes like?
No.
You could try and use all the adjectives in your vocabulary, but they're not going to know what chocolate tastes like. So what does David HaMelech say? Ta'amu u'u ki tov Hashem. My brother told this over at the Purim Surah. Taste and see Hashem is good. You have to experience Hashem, so to speak. Mitzvos, Torah, to know that it's good. Could you know what it feels like to be an Eved Hashem? We were avadim l'parobar, avadim hayinu l'parobar mitzray, v'yotzi'en Hashem misham b'yad chazak v'zro netuya. You have to have left Egypt to know how good it is to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ta'amu ru'u ki tov Hashem. You have to taste it yourself. So we have a taste of Avodas Hashem, but it doesn't mean we're not going to fall and fail. We will. However, so Rav Hertner says, in many battles you will fall lame. However, after losing those campaigns, you will nevertheless emerge victorious from the war. Lose battles, maybe, but you will win the war. King Shlomo, the wisest of all men, I just quoted this pasuk yesterday in a WhatsApp to somebody who was in a certain Indian and went down a little bit in a certain Indian, and I just mamish WhatsApp this pasuk last night. Tzadik yipol shava v'kam, Mishlei chaf dalid tes zayin, 24:16. Who knows the end of the pasuk? Tzadik yipol shava v'kam, but tzadik will fall seven times and rise up. Urishaim yikashlu bera'a, but the wicked stumble in their bad. Notice that ra and yetzer hara, what is the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, or in our case, success and failure? Tzaddik yipol, sheva, you should know, says Shlomo Melech, you're going to fall. The kam, what do you have to do?
Get up.
Make sure to get back up. What is the downfall of the Rasha? Not that he stumbles and falls.
He stays there.
He doesn't have the koach to pull himself back up.
So what keeps him from having the koach versus somebody else? He doesn't want to get up?
Say it again, please.
What keeps him from having the koach versus another person? He doesn't want to do it, really, and that's why he doesn't have the koach? What gives one person the koach where another one doesn't have it?
It's the willpower. You want to.
Right.
You have to find it. So some people are so steeped in the rishis that it's so much a part of them that they don't want to give it up. They can't. It's like being addicted to a drug. You can't give it up because it's so pervasive.
So A very profound question, just like the davening question. Salvechuk says, you know, we're talking about being a person today. It's hard for me. It's hard.
Everybody.
Avraham Avinu, right? It goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu. And perhaps that's why it's so hard to clean for Pesach. I'm really not making a joke, because the physical world mimics the spiritual world. And the harder something is in the spiritual world, that's its manifestation in the physical world. I'm being mamish very serious. It's a very deep hashkafic idea, but because it's so hard for us, so cleaning for Pesach also becomes so hard for us because it's a manifestation of the spiritual world. So what differentiates between the Tzaddik and the Rashi? You said between success and failure. So Bina said, Bina. Using your Bina, you say, you have to want to change. Willpower, you said. Or Salvechuk says, a Jew needs courage. You need courage to change. He says, it's a story that I oft quote, and it's so profound when it comes to Avodas Hashem. If Salvechuk says, a certain man, would come to my Motzei Shabbos lectures in Boston. He was inspired, says the Rav. The Rav says, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling it like it was. A non-affiliated Jew, a non-observant, non-affiliated Jew, would come to the Rav's Motzei Shabbos lectures in Boston. He was inspired. So 1 week, the Rav said to him, let me ask you, why don't we start making some changes? Let's start with Shabbos. Then we'll talk about the other things. So the man said, Rabbi, I would like to, but I can't. I don't have the courage. I will die a sinner. My family will think I'm crazy. My friends will lock me up. I can't change now. A person has to have... By the way, Khalida, I'm not saying... We're talking about ourselves, okay? We don't pass judgment on anyone who's in different places in Avodas Hashem. We're all in different places in Avodas Hashem. But we have to somehow daven for a lot of siyata d'shmaya and just deep reach very, very far down within ourselves to find the courage to change. It's very hard. And even once you take it upon yourself that you're going to clean for Pesach, then what happens? You're going to fail. So how did I fail? Because, says Rafa, your soul is not rooted in the battle, in the tranquility, but in the battle. And that's why Rav Lau's insight in Avraham Avinu, the founder of the Ummah Yisraelis, is so profound. Because we're really all walking in his footsteps. I pointed out in a shir last week that the two mitzvos that Hashem gave us, with merits, to leave Egypt, Karban Pesach and Mila, were both first observed by Avraham Avinu. Bismillah Perak Yud Zayin, his halach lefani veheyatamim, the first one to undergo Bismillah was Avraham Avinu. What do we say about the baby? Lahachniso bebris shal Avraham Avinu. And the first one to observe Pesach, Perak Yud Chas, Parshas Vayera, the malachim came. And what Yom Tov is, it says, Rashi, straight out, Ka'es Chayu Lasar Ben. What is Ka'es Chayu at this time next year? Rashi says, Pasha, quoting the Gemara Baba Metzia. It was Pesach when the Malachim came. It was Pesach when Yitzchak was born. Exactly 400 years Pesach later, we were redeemed. So the two mitzvos that God gave us to get out of Egypt were Pesach and we didn't have merits. So Hashem said, you don't have merits, so I'm going to give you two mitzvos. Which dafka two mitzvos did he choose? Mila and Pesach. But now I'm thinking of an added ha'ara that we did not say on Shabbos or last week. I'm going to add something beautiful now. Why dafka mitzvos of blood? Va'avar layich ve'erech misposesis va'amar b'damayich chai misposesis b'damayich va'amar b'damayich chai. We say at the Pesach Seder. The Navi says, I passed over you and I saw you rolling in your blood. And God said, through your blood you shall live. I just thought of something. Through your blood you shall live. Ooh, ready? Why dafka the mitzvos of blood? Because it represents Mesiras Nefesh. Remember, we started off by saying, in regard to the story of the woman who bartered cigarettes, saved cigarettes the whole year to get flour. So there's two kinds of Mesiras Nefesh. There's a Mesiras Nefesh of physically giving up your blood. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva was, they were scraping his flesh with metal combs, says the Gemara. And he was saying Shema. And his Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, this is your dedication to God. So Rabbi Akiva said, Kol Chaya Ha'isi Mitzta'er. All my life I was pained over the mitzvah. Comes to my hand, I shall not fulfill. So what does blood represent? I didn't think of this last week. Why dafka blood? We went in the ways of Avraham Avinu. Is everyone with me? Yitzias Mitzrayim came. We're ready to be redeemed. We don't have mitzvos. We're on the 49th level of impurity. God said, I'm going to give you two mitzvos to get out. Do bris milah, do karban pesach, and then you'll have mitzvos. Why dafka those two mitzvos? Because who was the first one who did them? Avraham Avinu. We're marching in his path. We're following his way. His struggles are our struggles. But further insight, why dafka those mitzvos? Because they're both mitzvos of blood. What does blood represent? The giving up your life to God. And sometimes we give up our life in death, Rahman al-Tzlan al-Aleinu, and more often than not, we have to give up our life in life. And therefore, tzaddik yipol sheva v'kam. The key is to get back up. We were showing mikashlu b'ra. Fools, says Rav Huttner, says one second. The knowledgeable know, says Rav Huttner, the source of the tzaddik's ability to rise is precisely through his seven falls. It's unbelievable. And then he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash Bereishis Rabba says, "Vayar Elokim is kol asher asa v'hinei tov me'od." Elokim saw everything he did. V'hinei tov me'od. Excuse me. So do you know what the Medrash says? The whole Perek Aleph, it's telling me everything is tov. After Elokim makes the world, every stage is good. Perek Aleph pasuk lamed alpha Bereishis. Elokim saw everything he made, and it was me'od, very good. So what's me'od? There. Says the Medrash, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, says the Medrash, is the Tov Me'od. It's through that challenge that we rise. I saw brought down, actually it's brought down by Rabbi Pesach Kron, that another Medrash on this, Vayar Elokim is Kol Asher Asa V'Hinei Tov Me'od. Because what are we talking about today? It's hard to be a
person.
And we started talking about matzah. So the Medrash says something else. Okay, the first Medrash that we quoted is Vayar Elokim is Kol Asher Asa V'Hinei Tov Me'od. Me'od refers to the Yetzer Hara. So chametz is very good. It makes us appreciate the matzah. Maybe I should say matzah is very good. It makes us appreciate the chametz. But you understand hashkafically where I'm going with this. But the Medrash says something else. Me'od mem aleph dalid. So the Medrash says Me'od za Adam. That's what the Medrash says. Why is Me'od Adam? Mem Aleph Dalet. Adam is Aleph Dalet Mem. So if you switch the letters around, Me'od is Adam. So I don't have the Sefer in front of me. Rabbi Kron quotes, I don't remember who, but it's definitely brought down by Rabbi Kron. It's a Medrash. So he quotes, I forget who says, any fool can see that Me'od and Adam, very Tov Me'od, very good, and Mem are the exact same letters. So I need Chazal with their Ruach HaKodesh and their Torah Min HaShamayim to tell me that Me'od is Adam. Any child could tell you. It's the same letters. It's not complicated. So what's the lesson of Tov Me'od and Me'od is Adam? The man is the capability to be not good, but very good. But let's relate it to this Medrash. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah 91. How do we become very good? How does the Me'od of Adam become Tov Me'od? By overcoming the Yetzer Hara. The same Tov Me'od that represents the Yetzer Hara also represents man. And that's perhaps what Simcha Raz means when he brings down the Chassidus Shvar. It's not hard to reach the level of angels. It's not hard on Yom Kippur to be like an angel. Some people take a tiny Zdibur. You can't be Nichshol with your speech if you take a tiny Zdibur. You can't be impatient. A fast from speaking. Ta'anit dibur. Sorry. Ta'anit dibur, tainis dibur. Thank you. You can't be nichshol with your speech if you're not talking. You can't be impatient at your children. You can't complain you're hungry. You can't be snappy with your husband. You can't, I don't know, do any other things if you're not talking. You're not talking.
Shtika is chachma.
What?
Shtika is chachma.
Shtika is?
Chachma. Shtika is chachma.
Siyag HaChachma Shtika, yes.
Right?
But that's the ultimate. That's not what Chazal really mean when they say siyagah chachma shtika. Chazal mean measure your words. This is the ultimate. We're going back to what Racha said about being a gentile. So if you're not having relations and you're not eating and you're not drinking and you're not speaking and you're not showering and anointing, so you can be an angel. But take gashmias and kemach and physicality and be involved in the world and then be kadoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. Vayar Elohim as kol asher asa. Oh, I just saw something else. Elohim saw everything that he made. He made it all for the purpose to bestow kindness on men. So he looked through my separations. Tov me'od is preceded by kol asher asa. Perak aleph pasuk lamed alpha bereishis. So the Ribono Shel Olam looked at the whole world, the light and the dark, the earth and the heavens, the ma'oros birakia hashamayim, the luminaries to give light. And he looked at the desha and the eitzim, the grass, the herbage, the greenery, the trees. And he looked at the animals, and he looked at the fish, and he looked at the ovos hashamay. And he said, my world is very good. But who's going to benefit from my world? Ma'od. We need Adam. Adam has to immerse himself. Uridubid gasayam. What does the pasuk say? Hashem created man, and he said, you shall rule over the fish of the sea, ba'ofa shamayim. Man is made to rule over nature, but it only comes from the struggle with the Yetzer, and that's all chametz. And that's why we search and we search, and says, Kitov, if you think you found it, go on the night dafka before Pesach, when you say, I'm for sure clean, and then look again, because you're not clean. And I was so happy when I found that barley on my shelf. I can't tell you, that single barley. It made me so happy. Yes?
I question, just like asking, because when you do that carbon, and your thoughts are not clean, and so the carbon is nil, it's like you're not getting a chance. You know, say, in tefillah, it seems like you are having a chance. So if you fail, you still have to catch yourself. But with the carbon, it's like, yes or no.
Okay, so wait. That's why I said you can't ask me the lachos of karbanos. Taking a hashkafic lesson. I can't answer at one point. I preceded that. I'm not qualified to answer. I don't know what point the carbon becomes disqualified. Does the Baal HaBayis need to have the proper intent? Does the Kohen need to have the proper intent? My guess would be they both need to have the proper kavana. I can't answer. But we're just trying to derive a very relevant, practical, modern-day application of this lesson to our lives. Okay? So therefore, Vayarukam is kol shosav v'hinei tov ma'od. Ma'od is the Yetzer Hara. Ma'od is also Adam. Okay? So Rav Huttner says, what did he say?
No, I haven't had a little answer for her about that. But I don't want to take a...
My cherished one, I clasp you to my heart. I whisper in your ear. Listen what Rav Huttner writes. Had your letter reported on mitzvos and good deeds, I would have said I received a good letter from you, a tov letter. If you would have told me that you were osek in Torah, mitzvos and chesed and ma'asim tovim, so I would have written you back, my dear Talmud, you sent me a tov letter. But now that you wrote to me telling of your slumps, your falls, and your obstacles, I have received not a good letter, I have received a very good letter from you. Your spirit is storming as it aspires to greatness. I beg of you, Rav Huttner is not writing to this Talmud. Rav Huttner is writing to every Jew who's striving and yearning, everyone who wants to be better, whether it's in tefillah, whether it's in chesed, whether it's in midos tovos, whether it's in ma'isim tov, whether it's tzedakah, everybody. Everyone has their own personal nisyonos. Picture the greatness of the great ones, not as being at one with their Yetzer Tov, but in their awesome war with their Yetzer Hara. And when you feel the turmoil of the Yetzer Hara, know you resemble men far greater than yourself. In the very areas where you feel yourself falling, you have the greatest potential for the instrument of distinction, for the honor of Hashem. So there's very areas. So you asked, what is the distinction or the differentiation between Tzadik Yipol Sheva V'Kam U'Rishayim Yikashlu B'Ra'a? The distinction and the difference is that a Tzadik has the courage to get back up. Ezu Gibra HaKovesh at
Yitzra.
You have to reign in the Yitzra. So it's good we touched upon the parsha, because I did not say Belinator when we started the shir, I don't think. But I was Yotze. I said we're going to talk about Pesach and Parsha. But I did touch upon the Parsha. Chasdei Hashem. So I want to end with the following Ha'ara, which I think really ties in our learning very beautifully and very importantly. And it's something that has had an impact on me. I'm going to share an insight, a story that I shared in a Chodesh Adar share, I don't remember. But then I'm going to add something onto that. Rabbi Dov Lipman tells of his aha moment. If you heard me tell a story, it's possible. But then I'm going to add something else. Rabbi Dov Lipman tells of his aha moment when he realized, former MK, or he is current MK, former MK, when he realized his aha moment of what it means to be living in Israel. A few months after he made Aliyah with his family, he got into a taxi. And the taxi driver writes Rabbi Lipman, not only was he not wearing a kippah, he had, quote, multiple earrings and tattoos. But I'm going to add something on, or if you already heard me tell the story. He had multiple earrings and tattoos. So he said to Dov, how are you? So Dov said, this is a conversation that's going on in Hebrew, I am tired. And Ani'ayif. So the cab driver looks at him and says, you should never say Ani'ayif. You shouldn't say you're tired. Why shouldn't you say you're tired? Because two times in the Torah says the cab driver with multiple earrings and tattoos. And Dov Lipman says, I thought to myself, this guy is giving me a shear on how I'm supposed to talk based on the Lashon in the Torah. Two times in the Torah, it says ayef, and they're both not positive associations. The first time it says ayef is in regard to Esav and Parshas Toldos, and he comes in from the hunting in the field, and Yaakov is cooking stew, and Esav declares, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ki ayef anochi alkein karishmo Edom. Pour me some of that red stuff. I am tired. He's Edom. The other time it says Ayev, says this cab driver who's clearly not a T or affiliated to Rabbi Lipman, is by Amalek. Amalek is obviously not positive either. And what happens? Va'ata Ayev v'yageyev elo yare elokim. That you were weak and tired. When you're tired, in Avodas Hashem, who can strike? Amalek. Therefore, says the cab driver, you should say, it's been a long day. I need to get some rest. Unbelievable. So I'll tell you a very cute story. The Friday before last, I was in Gourmet Glas on Friday morning. It was a long week. I'm not usually in Gourmet Glas to first get the groceries for. I'm running Baruch Hashem for long Shabbos. So I met my husband's friend, Peter, who runs the meat department. I don't even know his last name. My husband knows. They went to school together many, many years ago. So he said to me, you're not usually here Friday morning. So I said, let me tell you something. He got more than he bargained for. I don't think he expected a Dvar Torah. So I said, it's been a long week. I said, I really want to say I'm tired. I said, but I'm not going to say I'm tired. You know why I'm not saying I'm tired? So I told him, no, I really told him the Dvar Torah. But then I added something else, which I'm going to share with you. I'm talking about being a person. You have to be a man. And I promise you, I said to Hashem this morning, because I did something last night that I wasn't so happy about. I don't know if I'll have a chance to do teshuva. What?
I can't imagine.
What did we just learn? What did we just learn for 59 minutes? So.
Hard to be.
And I don't know. I hope Hashem gives me a chance to do teshuva. But, it's hard to be a person. So I said to Peter, it says, this is in Gourmet Glas on a busy Friday morning. So I said to Peter, it says in Bilvavi Mishkan, Evrenai Ravi Tamar Schwartz, every biblical personality, give me three more minutes to go over, please. Every biblical personality is in every person. Correct. It really could change your outlook and your Avodah Hashem. It means I have the Lech Lecha of Avraham Avinu, the ability to walk with God, to be Moser Nefesh, my blood in life. But it also means I have the Lot who wants to sit in Shaar Sodom. It means I have the lewdness of Lot, and I have the godless of Avraham Avinu. It means I have the Ayin Tova of Aaron HaKohen, but I also have the Ayin Ra'a of Bilam HaRasha. It means I have the Anivus of Moshe and the Gaiva of Paro. As the principle of Bavavi brings down, every biblical personality is in every single one of us. I have the passivity of Noach, which is not good, and I have the Giborus of Yosef. Esav represents, I want it right now. Rav Salvechik says a Jew has to have patience. The Hashkacha requires a Jew should have patience. every year we pour koshal Eliyahu. We're still waiting for Shvach Hamas Chalagoy, Mashallah Yaducha. When's it going to come? I don't know, says the Rav. He says the Jew has to have tremendous patience. Why is Esav not part of the Yisrael? He's the antithesis of this. Haliteni na min Adom Adom. Is that, oh, it's raw? It's not fully cooked? I want it right now. Amalek represents Lo Yare Elokim. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch points out, Yare Elokim means they did not fear God. But why didn't they fear God? They didn't see God. Yirat Shamayim doesn't only mean to fear God. You have to see God to first fear Him. So Esav, who is in each and every one of us, represents, I don't have patience. That's not the Jewish way. We sit down on Seder night and we say, Becholder, Vador, Amdi, Malenu, L'chal, Seinu. How much patience do we have to be a Jew? And then on the other hand, we have Amalek, and Amalek doesn't see God. So what does this mean? Inside every Jew is Esav and Amalek. There are times when we lack patience, whether it's on a national level or on a personal level. We're waiting for Yeshua. I don't have the patience. I don't want to wait, God. Just bring the Parnassa, bring the Shalom Bais, bring the Shidduch, bring the Refuah Shleimah. How long do you expect me to wait? I feel like an Esav. And there are times when we feel like Amalek. I don't see you, God. It's a time of Hester Panim Tzafun. You're hidden. Where are you? So we always feel, there are times when we feel like that. So the cab driver said, don't say I'm tired. Don't make yourself. Don't tap into the koich of an Esav and an Amalek. Don't be those people. Make sure you are the antithesis. You have to be the Yaakov who says, you know, it's really not cooked. The Yitzchak, I think we need to wait. And you have to be the Jew who says, I see God. I want to add something tremendous onto here. We say in Birkas HaShachar, or should I just end now or should I finish with Birkas HaShachar? Because you asked, and we're going to end with answering your question a little further. How do you overcome these tendencies within yourself? Say in Birkas HaShachar, Baruch HaNosin LaYa'if Koach. So we turn to Ribono Shel Olam and we say, when I feel tired, and it's so hard for me to be a person, when I don't feel the Adam in the Tov Ma'od, and I only see the Yetzer Hara in the Tov Ma'od, Baruch Ata Hashem L'Kinim Mechom, how do I start my day? HaNosin LaYa'if Koach. I know when I'm tired, when I feel like an Esav, when I feel like an Amalek, Hashem is going to give me the koach. And if I can tap into the koach, I can be successful. But it gets even better. Ayef and Ya'if have one difference. Ayef, which is the verb used in the Torah, puts the ayin first. What does the ayin stand for? Esav and Amalek. Ya'if puts who first?
The
Yorav. The Ribono Shel Olam, Yiras Hashem. So when you feel like an Esav and an Amalek, when you have your ayin first, when you feel the ayefut, the tiredness of Esav and Amalek, how do you root it out? Put the yud first. What's the yud? Switch the yud and the ayin. Make sure you are a yirei shamayim. See God, to fear God, have the patience. When you put the yud before the ayin, you will truly tap into the koach of what it means to be a Jew. And our battle is rooted in the struggle. And we search and we search and we search for the chametz. Not only in the pantry and not only for the barley and not only for the erratic Cheerio that maybe went somewhere in my home. But it says, Kitov, go back and look for yourself. And in whose path do we follow? Avram Avinu, the father of the Umma Yisraelis. The hardest test is to give your blood to God. B'damayi chayi. Give your blood to Him while you are yet alive. And that is unbelievable, Mesiras Nefesh. It's what proved that this George was Gerson, he was Jewish, and it proves that all of us are Jewish. Ashira la Hashem bechayai, azamra la Elokei ba'odi. While I'm still alive, I give thanks and shavach to Ribono Shel Olam. So I wish you all a very Pesach dek, chametz free, matzah filled Yom Tov of Kemach and Mayim combined with the Chai, the 18 minutes of life. We should be zocha to conquer our personal nisyonos, should be zocha to conquer our national nisyonos. We should live up to the Vehinei Tov Ma'od. Ma'od is Adam, and in the zchus of our patience, and in the zchus of our seeing the Ribono Shel Olam, we should be zocha to the ultimate Geula, when our karbanos will be brought with the proper intent in a rebuilt and redeemed Yerushalayim, Yerakolish, Shubi B'mheir, Rabbi Amin. I wish you all a chag kasher, v'sameach, amen, v'amen.
Thank you,
thank you, ladies.